Rejoice, Grizzlies fans. Your squad is finally being recognized by national media as a legitimate threat in the Western Conference, whether it's The Athletic, whether it's ESPN. NBA Finals or bust, baby. Here come the Grizzlies. But be careful what you wish for. DeMichael Cole and I are going to do a mock playoff run in this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Don't worry. The first thing you'll have to do is just get through the defending NBA champions. Let's see if they can do it. Let's lock in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, your team each and every day here, a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are at Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, co-host, I should say, joined by my wonderful co-host, DeMichael Cole, and I'll speak more on him here in a moment. But first, I want to make sure I'm shouting out our wonderful title sponsor on this episode. It's Bet Online. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online. Make sure that you're making Bet Online your source for props, odds, and lines. They do it better this season than they ever have before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Locked On Grizzlies is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're checking us out over on YouTube as well. Like, comment, rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and YouTube. Continue to make us a part of your NBA and Memphis Grizzlies experience. DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, beat writer, covering the Memphis Grizzlies about as well, if not better, than anybody else possibly could. DeMichael, I'm excited for this episode. We talked about it yesterday a little bit. The reality of the situation, Memphis is seen by more and more folks as a legitimate threat in the NBA championship picture. I guess a 10-game winning streak will do that for you, DeMichael.
A 10-game win streak will do it for sure, Joe. I mean, because this isn't the first time we've seen them go on a 10-game win streak. This right. happened last season, right? And last season when it happened, that was the surprise one. That's when you caught teams off guard and people were saying, oh, these Grizzlies are coming along. And even going back to playing off last season, people are taking this team more serious now, Joe, simply because they've been here before. It's different when you've been there before. Now that the Grizzlies have that experience where they've been here before, they've been battle-tested, they've been a top-two seed, you know, where everyone's gunning for them. Now they're going to be better prepared. You know, that's just experience. That's a life, you know, that's a life lesson. You know, you're going to be better prepared as you get more experiences at something, and that's the case right now. And I think, you know, over the course of time, as we see how this season unfolds, you and I both know seeding in the Western Conference is not the biggest of you know, indicators of who the best teams are. I mean, we saw last season, I think the Mavs were the fourth or the fifth seed, and they completely ran straight through the Suns, who were a 64-win team, you know, in a regular season. So sometimes you just don't know, you know, and it's very tough. But you're right. You're right on with that. I think with Ja Morant, the things that Desmond Bane's doing, these guys aren't newbies right anymore. Everyone knows what Ja brings to the table. He's full-on superstar now, Joe. Remember last year, it was rising superstar. Now he's full-on superstar. Mm-hmm. Desmond Bane has kind of, you know, started to get a little bit more of his flowers. Jaren Jackson Jr., as we've mentioned, one of the favorites for Defensive Player of the Year. People know what's going on in Memphis.
And because of that, they're not going to sneak up on anybody. But one of the positives of their current situation is they would have a lot of opportunities to play at home if the playoffs were to begin today, which of course they do not. The Memphis Grizzlies play the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, and we'll talk more about that later on in the show. But DeMichael and I wanted to operate in this alternative realm for a bit of our program today. So indulge us, if you will, as we conduct a mock NBA playoffs if the season ended today. As of this recording, we're looking at the top eight teams in each conference. In the Eastern Conference, we got the Boston Celtics, who, spoiler alert, they're going to make the NBA Finals, at least in this rendering. On my end, DeMichael might disagree with that, but we might have to save the East for another episode. But the point I'm trying to make is Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Brooklyn, Cleveland. What a 4-5 series that would be, by the way, Brooklyn and Cleveland. New York, Miami, and Indiana. Those are the current top eight in the Eastern Conference. We're going to go chalk in the play-in tournament for the sake of ease. In the Western Conference, which is where we'll focus most of our energy, that using the same logic, you've got the Denver Nuggets at the one seed. They currently have the tiebreaker, I believe. Then you have the Memphis Grizzlies, hottest team in the NBA, winners of 10 straight games. They are the two. You've got the Pelicans, the Kings, the Mavericks, the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Jazz. Those are the top eight teams in the Western Conference. So, DeMichael, as we begin our exercise, again, we're assuming Golden State makes and is the seventh seed
in a
situation. So the Memphis Grizzlies, as they begin their quest in our, you know, if the season ended today, playoffs, they are taking on the Golden State Warriors. And I'm going to come in hot from the beginning, DeMichael, and I'm going to say that the Memphis Grizzlies win this series in seven games. The reason I say seven games is I think you have to pay the champions the respect of being the team to beat. As Ric Flair famously says, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. I think it's a great opportunity to get that out of the way early for Memphis. So if I were the Grizzlies, you know, Ja Morant, the gentleman who doesn't run away from the smoke, he runs into it. He goes up the chimney, he says. Yeah. I'm not concerned about their mentality. They know that they hung with the Warriors, even with health concerns, even with all the things that were going against them last season. You mentioned those battle scars. I think the fact that they have home court would be massive in this series. And you look at, obviously, I believe the Grizzlies had home court last year as well. But again, the experience factor, the fact that Memphis is 19-3 at home, 11-10 on the road so far this season, the Golden State Warriors 17-5, 5-17 on the road are the Golden State Warriors. And that is with Steph Curry in the lineup for a decent chunk of those games. I just think that the Grizzlies would take it out in seven and advance in our hypothetical playoffs here. So I'm taking Memphis in seven in that first series of our hypothetical run. What do you got, DeMichael?
Let's hope in that hypothetical run that the Warriors aren't the seventh seed. The Warriors are the seventh seed in theory. No, I'm saying they're the seventh seed in theory, but when they get in that play-in, you might want them to fall back to eight. Joe, I can't say that they will beat them until it happens. It's tough because I'll say right now, Warriors will win that series. Simply because, I mean, you got to go off what we've seen. And here's the biggest thing right now. The thing to me is when the Grizzlies play the Warriors, the identity of the Grizzlies looks so much different. The Grizzlies dominate the glass when they play these other teams. The Warriors are middle of the pack. The Warriors are not a great rebounding team by any stretch of the imagination. The Warriors out-rebounded the Grizzlies 51-44 on Christmas. If you go back to Game 6 when Kevon Looney moved to that lineup, you know, last season in the playoffs, he dominated the glass, and the Warriors dominated the glass in Game 6. And it's like Kevon Looney starts for the Warriors, and the Warriors still don't dominate the glass. So it's like it's something the Warriors do, you know, just strategy-wise, defensively, they stress – you know, the Grizzlies. And, you know, it's hard for me to say right now. I mean, I'm pretty sure my opinion will change at some point, potentially the way the Grizzlies are playing basketball and as they continue to gel more and whatnot. But at the end of the day, the Warriors shoot the basketball from three very, very well. And they defend at a high level, which they've done, you know, historically. And they're going to work out those kinks that they're struggling with, you know, right now and as time goes on. And the Grizzlies are getting closer to their best form. But right now, I just don't think that's a desirable matchup. I think you could put the Grizzlies against anyone else in the Western Conference but that team.
See, you killed it in the very first part of our show, DeMichael. We were supposed to both say the Grizzlies advance, and then we have another segment where we can talk about Memphis taking on a hypothetical Los Angeles Clippers or New Orleans Pelicans. But no, you had to destroy it early on with your logic and reason. Everything you just said is completely fair. I think that what would hurt Golden State trying to put a more basketball spin of analysis on it beyond to be the man, you got to beat the man, is the idea that they're depending a lot more on younger guys. You know, they had Gary Payton the second last year. Obviously, he got hurt.
That's a great point.
But they had Otto Porter Jr.
He wasn't missing in that series.
Correct. They had a bench that's a little bit more stable than their current bench situation. So outside of Jordan Poole, of course, who I believe is playing sixth man for them still.
Yeah, I think those are all great points.
Right.
And
so
that's another reason why it feels like it's almost time. You know, eventually the Grizzlies are going to get over that hurdle. And it feels like, you know, it's close to that time. But here's my thing, you know, Joe, that I would probably counter that with, right? We know Ja Morant's amazing. Ja Morant's mm-hmm. amazing against the Warriors, right? Have we seen Desmond Bane play amazing against the Warriors yet? Now, I know the back, you know, last season.
Right.
And this season, it was his second game back from injury. So I know the circumstances there. And we've talked about how he's kind of slowly been building himself up. But just looking at what we've seen, the Warriors close out strong. They are the best team, I think, at making Desmond Bane drive the basketball to the basket. You mentioned it, how he's in the 13th percentile and finishing around the rim on yesterday's episode, and then going to Jaren Jackson Jr. He can play. He's playing bully ball with a lot of these teams. Draymond Green is probably one of the few defenders who's going to muscle up with him, and he's agile enough left to right where when Jaren goes off of the dribble, he can stay in front of them and possibly draw charges and things like that. So it's like a matchup perspective. They're going to force the Grizzlies to really get into their bag, you know, skill-wise to win that series.
They would make them earn it. And, again, it would be a cool initial demon to kick on the route to the playoffs. So for the sake of content, DeMichael, I hope you understand, we're going to say that my result happens. The Golden State Warriors lose in 7. Memphis advances. We'll talk about who they take on. Because that's
very possible. It's very possible.
And we'll talk about who they take on next in our hypothetical and where maybe the Grizzlies' run will end with a parade on Beale Street. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see as we continue on here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, this episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Rocket Money. If your New Year's goals are to manage your budget better and save money, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they completely forgot about, like that streaming service that you bought to watch one show on, that free trial that you never even used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones that you don't want. Maybe you subscribe to HBO Max just so you could hear John Cena's Peacekeeper song over and over again. Maybe you subscribed to Amazon Prime over the holidays because you wanted to have some help with shipping and you completely forgot about these things. And then the money keeps adding up and adding up and adding up. Rocket Money would easily help cancel not just those subscriptions, but of countless other subscription services. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. We talk Grizzlies Clippers. We talk Grizzlies Pelicans. We talk Grizzlies Nuggets next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, joined by my co-host, the wonderful DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, Grizzlies beat writer, of course, for that publication. Okay, so DeMichael used his brain correctly and acknowledged that the Warriors could pretty easily, if the season ended today, beat the Grizzlies. Maybe not easily. I don't want to put words in your mouth. The Warriors could defeat the Grizzlies, just like they did, obviously, in the last playoffs. Excuse me. But for the sake of this exercise, Memphis advances. And we can accelerate this a little bit to Michael, get to the point. Say the Grizzlies do indeed win that first series. And now they're looking at a series against either Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans, or everybody before the season begins pick to win the Western Conference, the Los Angeles Clippers. The
darlings, yeah.
Right, the darlings of the NBA. So that would be another brutal series. And then if you're lucky enough to get through that, the Grizzlies would then have a date, presumably, with the other team that shares their record at this stage of the NBA season, the Denver Nuggets, 30-13, 30-13, two teams clashing at the top of the conference, assuming things go chalk. Denver would, again, as of today, have the home court advantage. So what's the point we're trying to make, DeMichael? The point we're trying to make is, as exciting as it is that the Memphis Grizzlies are in the position that they're in, do not lose sight of all of the other talent in the Western Conference. As fun as it is to dream of a Boston or Milwaukee Memphis finals, there's a long way to go, and the Western Conference is probably going to get tougher at the trade deadline, whereas we have no idea what the Grizzlies are going to do at the trade deadline. You know there's going to be some teams that make some moves to shore some things up.
Yes, there will be. And I took the perspective of saying, hey, the Warriors are going to be a tough out. I think even the most optimistic Grizzlies fans, you can agree that it's going to be a tough team to beat. I mean, let's not be irrational here. But those other teams, specifically, you know, the Clippers and the Pelicans, Joe, I think they win both of those series. And here's why. The Clippers, I'll start there, right? The Clippers have, you know, basically one big man. You mentioned the trade deadline, a big, you know, point of emphasis. Emphasis for the Clippers, if you've been reading the reports, are upgrading their backup big man. Moses Brown, I think, is their second center now.
It's not going well.
And it's not been a productive situation. And Zubac, as good as he is, you know, is a great, talented young big man. I don't care who you are. When you got a battle with Steven Adams, it's just going to be tough. So, but here's the main reason. The Clippers, they like this small lineup. And it's hard for me to see you being a small team beating the Grizzlies. And the Warriors are a prime example of that. The Warriors in that series last season, when they went small, when they started Draymond Green in game five at center, and Jaren Jackson Jr. obliterated them. I mean, he dominated them. And they went back big, put Kevon Looney in the lineup in game six, won the series. If they kept that same lineup from game five, Grizzlies probably come back and win that series. So you look at the Clippers, they love playing small. They want to put Nicholas Batum at power forward. You know, they want Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Marcus Morris. And none of those guys stand a chance against Jaren Jackson Jr. I think the Jaren Jackson Jr. that we're seeing this year is the guy who you want to be the guy in those type series. Say, okay, look, at the end of the day, Ja is Ja, but he's going to have a tough time, you know, with guys like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, you know, Nicholas Batum, and all trying to flank him. But that's the series where you say, Jaren Jackson Jr., you're taller than those guys, you're bigger, you're stronger, go dominate. And that's his type of series. And then, of course, on the other end, I think his talent translates well too, right? You know, he's a switchable big man. So the Clippers usually think on the other end, oh, yeah, you're going to play these big power forwards against, you know, Marcus Morris and these type guys. Doesn't work against Jaren Jackson Jr. So I think that's just a matchup that's more catered to the Grizzlies' strengths. And then, I mean, if you look at the games against the Pelicans so far this season, specifically the last two, how the Grizzlies have guarded Zion Williamson, using Dylan Brooks as the primary defender, and kind of have Jaren Jackson Jr. lurking off of Herb Jones. And that's going to be an interesting situation, right? Because even when Brandon Ingram hypothetically gets back, they're still probably going to start Herb Jones. Mm-hmm. And I think in that situation, the Grizzlies are still going to use, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. on Herb Jones and kind of use him as like that lurking defender who's going to help out on Dylan Brooks on Zion Williamson. And that's worked to a T two consecutive times. And you probably live with the results of CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram, which is, look, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy series. I think the Pelicans are the best equipped team outside, you know, of the Warriors to beat them.
Yeah. And again, the overall point of this exercise is to reiterate to folks that the Western Conference is stacked.
It's tough.
And you mentioned trying to replace the backup, or trying to rectify the backup big situation there in Los Angeles with the Clippers. There's also rumors of old friend of Memphis, Mike Conley Jr., being in the mix. The Clippers could use a point guard. So the Clippers see themselves as a championship contender, right? That's what they view themselves as with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the fold. And they are going to go out and they're going to make moves, you would assume, if at all possible, to try to amplify that. Denver Nuggets, same situation. When you have a back-to-back MVP who looks in line to potentially be a three-time MVP and Nikola Jokic, you're trying to be a contender. When you have a team like the Golden State Warriors who could potentially be a first-round matchup for you, I agree with you, DeMichael, that that's unlikely to stick. You've got the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry's healthy and back again. The Western Conference is so close together. The Warriors are 8.5 games back of the number one seed Nuggets as of this recording. They're literally within two games of the five seed. They're a game and a half back as we record here of the Dallas Mavericks at five. So that could change pretty rapidly, and I would almost anticipate that it certainly will. Sacramento Kings remain a team that's kind of plucky. They refuse to fall out of being in that top six conversation. Everybody's kind of waiting for the bottom to fall out on Sacramento, and it just hasn't happened yet. So the overall point of this, and I appreciate DeMichael humoring me, I think we made our point. It's exciting. The Grizzlies are playing great basketball. They're about to enter a stretch where we're going to find out more about them in terms of being a contending team. But don't forget that the rest of the Western Conference is pretty impressive. Yeah. And when the time comes, they are going to have to make some major moves, not necessarily in terms of trades, but in terms of internal growth to be able to truly enter that realm of contender status. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional amateur league out there. Football, basketball, hockey, all of it is on BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those over at BetOnline as well. They are the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info as we enter and go through the NFL playoffs, approaching the NBA All-Star break. College basketball season. It'll be March before you know it, DeMichael. All the different types of fun that you can have in terms of betting online on sports, Bet Online is the way to get the job done. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. We are going to preview a game against a potential Eastern Conference contender that will likely be down their best guy, which makes the game a little bit less showy. But that's okay. It's a chance for Memphis to take on some other talented members from the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your co-host, Joe Mullinax, joined by the wonderful DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, the Grizzlies beat writer there. He will be covering the game tonight as Memphis, the hopeful NBA final contender that we just talked about. Maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit. It's good to be excited, but remember, there's a lot of good teams in the West. There's also a lot of good teams in the East, DeMichael, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are one of those teams that are really doing impressive things. And as you and I have talked about before, DeMichael, one of the most fascinating things for me watching this 28-17 Cleveland Cavaliers team come into Memphis, even if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play, which seems, you know, there hasn't been an official ruling on him as of this recording, seems unlikely he's going to play. He tweaked his groin, I believe, in the game on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And, you know, there was question whether or not he was even going to make the plane ride to Memphis from Cleveland. So assuming Donovan doesn't play, they obviously still have Darius Garland. They have other talented guys, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley. Up and down that roster, they have guys that fit J.B. Bickerstaff's system, friend of Memphis, J.B. Bickerstaff, and a victim of circumstance, it's probably fair to say, with J.B. As things ended for him here in Memphis. I always hoped, going back to my time at GBB, Grizzly Bear Blues from SB Nation, that he would have a chance to coach again. It just didn't work out in Memphis. I thought Bickerstaff was a good coach. I hoped he would get another opportunity. He got it in Cleveland, and he's making the most of it. The thing that fascinates me is, again, Spida may not play, but Donovan Mitchell, the Cavs made the all-in move, right? They went out and got a guy that could be their superstar-level player. Memphis hasn't done that kind of trade yet. You could argue they have their superstar guy in Ja Morant. Point being, it's two young teams, two teams that are maybe punching above their heads a little bit in terms of what they should be doing quality-wise. And they're doing it in different ways, and that's going to make it a fun watch, I think, the way that these two organizations are perceiving their roles in the NBA at this moment.
Yeah, but you know the similarity between both of them? We talk about the Grizzlies being the number one rated defense, right? You know who number two is, Joe?
I'm guessing it's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They're right on. They're right behind them at number two, and this is going to be a
take the under. Take the under.
There it is. You heard it from Joe first. I mean, I don't know what excites you most about this game. The backcourt matchup or the frontcourt match. You can't go wrong with either one. Even if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play, you're still potentially looking at Darius Garland and Caris LeVert. You know, Caris LeVert is who I think is one of the most underrated scorers in the NBA. I mean, I think he had a 40-point game earlier this season when Donovan Mitchell was out. But he is lethal. He gets to that mid-range. I remember when he was in college, they called him Baby Durant or something like that. So you see those little parts of his game. And then Darius Garland, he's so you know, shifty and quick and, you know, shoots the three-point shot well. So the backcourt matchup is fun, Joe. But Evan Mobley, Jared Allen – versus Steven Adams, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, that's what I'm most excited
about.
That's what I
want to see. You know, we saw Jaren Jackson Jr. kind of go at the rookie, right? Paolo Banchero. He put his, you know, he went at him. And I think Banchero's a big guy, 6'10", 250. Mobley's a little bit lighter, but he's more of a shot blocker, great defender. I want to see Jaren Jackson Jr. go at a guy like that. Let's see how he responds to that caliber of matchup.
Pick on somebody your own size.
Ooh, yeah.
Even though Banchero, like you said, Banchero isn't small.
He is,
but
yeah.
Mobley seems more apt to physically handle what Jaren is capable of doing.
Yeah, you know, he likes that left-handed floater, right? This is the type of guy who's capable of sending that into the second stands. So that's the matchup I want to see the most. And then, of course, you know, Steven Adams, Jared Allen. Jared Allen has been a great big man. But you can argue, Joe, because I was in Philly, and this was always what we talked about up there. The argument against Jaren Allen was those big, physical, stronger big men who can kind of, you know, he's a slimmer guy, kind of move him out of the way. He's a great defender. The metrics show it. The stats show it. But Steven Adams is a bigger guy who, I mean, we saw when he was with the Nets, Joel Embiid kind of had his way with him. You've seen a couple other guys, you know, I think DeMarcus Cousins early on, pre-injury, kind of did some, you know, damage against Jared Allen as well. So Steven Adams, just with his strength, his ability to just move him out of the way, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Jared Allen handles that. But everything else, I mean, Darius Garland, you know, it'll be fun to watch him and Ja. And I'm sure that's who Dylan is going to be matched up against too.
You would imagine so, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how both teams respond to the size and strength of the opposing front courts. I think that's going to matter a lot. If Memphis shoots from three, especially Ja Morant, the way that they did against the Suns on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, that the impact of the Cleveland defense between Allen and Mobley down low is going to be a little negated. Same thing, obviously, on the other end. If Garland and the other Cavaliers can convert from three, LeVert, if he gets hot, for example, that's going to be a major concern. It's also going to be interesting to watch how the benches interact and intertwine, because you got Zaire Williams, you got Tyus Jones, you got Brandon Clark. Those are the three main bench contributors for the Grizzlies. Matching that up against a Cleveland bench that has been inconsistent at times this season, that might be a place. If the Grizzlies can find a way to build a lead or gain ground when Ja Morant and others are out, or obviously Taylor Jenkins, he never really has Ja, Jaren, and Bane all out at the same time. He usually takes Jaren and Bane out earlier in the rotation. Then when Ja comes out towards the end of the first quarter, Bane and Jaren return. How those rotations match up and intertwine with what Bickerstaff tries to do, the chess pieces of the rotational and decisions and the substitution patterns, is going to be really fascinating to watch as well.
Yeah, it's
Kevin Love. Kevin Love's a great example.
Kevin Love is a great example of that, right? So they have depth, they have weapons, you know, and the Cavaliers, I mean, they rebound well, they block shots too, you know, like the Grizzlies. And we mentioned, you know, just the all around defense that they bring to the table. The Grizzlies, during this entire 10-game win streak, what you've noticed is 115 or more points in every single game. Joe, can they get 115 against this team?
That's a good question. If there's a team, you know, again, Boston's really good, Milwaukee's really good. Yeah. If there's, and again, the Grizzlies smoked Milwaukee a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they did.
So I think that if there was a team that was going to slow them down, it would be Cleveland. But I'm with you. I think that the Donovan Mitchell injury is going to impact them. Mitchell, for his lack of size, he's been a better defender in his career than I think he gets credit for. He's not a traffic cone, so to speak. And he's an important piece of that perimeter defense alongside Garland. LeVert brings a little more size, but I think that he is also not as fleet of foot as Mitchell is. And I think there's going to be opportunity for Bane and Brooks to kind of get off the dribble and find their shots. They're going to clearly try to blitz Ja Morant. They're not going to let him beat them. If Ja is on his passing game and he's able to make those skip passes that he's gotten a lot better at this season, I think it's going to be a tough night for the Cavaliers. If Mitchell doesn't play, I think Memphis wins. If Mitchell does play, I think it's going to be close. the Grizzlies will likely be favored in this game by a couple of points, I'd imagine, if Mitchell plays. If he doesn't, it'll probably be a few more than a couple. But I'm curious to see how that injury report comes out, what happens on this floor in Memphis as two teams with championship aspirations take on one another at FedEx Forum tonight. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Grizzlies. Thank you for making us your first listen each and every day. Now for your second listen, go check out Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. To Michael, the next time that Locked On Grizzlies is on the air, we'll have a Cleveland game to break down, obviously. The pros, the cons, the good, the bad, the ugly. And then we can talk a little bit about your upcoming road trip, going out and traveling and following the team on their upcoming 5-game, I believe it is, a West Coast roadie, a wonderful opportunity for you. You've got some travel coming up. The schedule is going to be a little bit different with the show here and there. But maybe we can bid you adieu and bon voyage on our next episode.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, right? And we'll see how this game plays out, because I think you can kind of link this game and group it with the upcoming road trip. This is going to be a tough test with or without Mitchell. That team is still really, really tough because they're still going to play great defense. But I was looking at the numbers just a second ago. 5 games in January so far. Only one team has scored more than 115 points, and that team only scored 116. So this is a tough one to get over 115 against, and the Grizzlies have consistently done that throughout this entire stretch. So the competition is about to heat up, right? And you mentioned it, the West Coast road trip coming up. It starts here against Cleveland, but after that, you got L.A., you got Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State, Minnesota, just big stretch of games coming up for the Grizzlies after they've taken care of business and won 10 straight. And we haven't mentioned it. One shy of tying the franchise record. If they beat the Cavs, they'll tie the franchise record set last season, around this time last season, actually, when they won their 11th consecutive game and, set the Grizzlies record.
The unstoppable force is about to meet the immovable object. It's going to be a big time, big fight feel for a Wednesday night game in Memphis. Hopefully you check it out. And hopefully you come back to Locked On Grizzlies and hear how things played out from DeMichael and I's perspective. Thank you so much for checking out Locked On Grizzlies on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe. Anywhere you get your podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. Help DeMichael and I continue to build the show. We're proud members of the Locked On podcast community and family. Help us continue to spread the good word of the Memphis Grizzlies and show that this team is more than capable of holding their own in a very crowded NBA landscape. For DeMichael Cole, I'm Joe Mullinax. Until next time, stay locked in. This is Locked On.